We're discussing the sugya and the Afi Dalad. We're in the discussions of who is allowed and not allowed to get haircuts during Chol HaMoed. And the Mishnah listed a number of examples of those who are allowed to get haircuts and shave during Chol HaMoed. Normally, you're not allowed to get a haircut during Chol HaMoed, that we discussed last week. But one of those who may get a haircut during Chol HaMoed is the person who traveled Haba Min Medinas Hayam, one who traveled from overseas, he's allowed to. So what was he doing overseas? Was he busy traveling for business? Was he traveling for pleasure? So the Gemara says there are actually three categories of people who traveled Min Medinas Hayam. One is a person who went for Mizonos, who was looking for Parnasa, which the Gemara says is an individual who mamish has nothing. Rashi says a person has Ein Lo Mizonos, has zero. His bank account is down to zero. So that person certainly was allowed to go before a Yontif. And if he came back during Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to get a haircut because he had the full rights to go ahead and make a parnasa. He had zero in the bank. The opposite extreme, a person who went out to Loshet to go out and observe the world and to go see the beauty of Kadosh Baruch Hu's creations. So that's a very nice thing. But at the same time, to go right before Yontif and to miss the chance to get a haircut, that's not a mitzvah. In which case, that person who comes back is not allowed to get a haircut during Chol HaMoed. But then there's that middle category, person who laharvicha, one who's trying to make extra money. Now, laharvicha, Rashi is a very interesting definition of laharvicha. Rashi's laharvicha means one who has nechasim harbe, a person who's got a lot of money in the bank, plenty of money in the bank, but he's yotze kidei larviach yos. He wants to make more money. He wants to have a little more buffer, a little more padding in his bank account to buy what he needs for his family, for his own personal use and enjoyment. Larvicha, that guy who traveled and he comes back during Chol HaMoed, is he allowed to get a haircut? So that's a subject of the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. And our Tanakhama holds that you are allowed to. They compare larvicha, they compare a person making more money to that of a person who has no money. So one would be allowed to actually get a haircut in the case of larvicha, which is a fascinating thing. So I use this as an opportunity to discuss in general the mitzvah of making a parnasa. That's what comes out of this discussion. We know there's an iser to get a haircut than Chol HaMoed. Who's allowed to? Only those who have a great need. So we see a person going out to make money, that's a great need, that's a good excuse. Not only to make money when you have no money, but even to make extra money, to have surplus, that's also a mitzvah, and that's actually grounds for allowing a person to get a haircut during Chol HaMoed, which is a fascinating source of a mitzvah of making parnasa. So why is there a mitzvah to make parnasa? What's the idea of, what's the mitzvah of working? So one is very simply, you need parnasa. How are we supposed to function? The Moshe talks about that you have to ein somchen al anes. Of course, we all need money to live, and of course, our family needs money to live. So you can't be somchen al anes. You can't just sit back and expect money to grow on trees and money to fall from shemayim. So you can ein somchen al anes. You have to actually work. So that's the need, and that's the mitzvah in working. He has an interesting discussion. I don't know if you saw this. The question was posed to him, is a person allowed to take out insurance plans? Life insurance, either health insurance, whatever insurance it is, can you take out insurance? Is that a lack of bitachon? Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me. I know I'm going to be healthy. There's no need for medical insurance. I know Kadosh Baruch Hu is going, I don't need flood insurance because Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to hit my house. I know I don't need life insurance. Is that something? Is that lack of bitachon? Moshe says, that's not lack of bitachon. Kadosh Baruch Hu, that means a person should never work. Don't do any work. Insurance is trying to protect yourself and your family. Whatever type of insurance it is, homeowners, flood insurance, medical insurance, life insurance, that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the way a person makes parnasa and protects himself and his family is by doing hishtalus. That's b'zeh asapecha. One of the curses that Adam received was that he's going to have to work hard with sweat, b'zeh asapecha. We have to do hishtalus. That's part of the nature of the world. And therefore, there's a mitzvah to make a parnasa and we don't rely on any nisim. That's one reason why there's a mitzvah to work. Another reason why a person has to work is the Mishnah Avos in the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mishnah Avos number one says, Yofe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, sheyegia shneim, when a person learned along with Derech Eretz, which means a person makes a parnasa, it doesn't mean Derech Eretz of being nice to people, though it could also mean that. But Derech Eretz means the way of the world, the way of the world that people make have jobs and make money. So both of them in combination, sheyegia shneim, Mishkachas avon, a person gets rid of the sin. V'chol Torah she'eni mamalacha, if there's Torah without any work, sofa b'teila, in the end the person is going to have nothing. V'goreles avon, it causes sin. So what avon is this talking about? Anyone see which avon? What sin does it cause by a person not working?
Sita, right?
Which one?
Sinus, rubber. robbery, stealing.
Stealing. Yeah, a person has no money. So list them. It causes stealing. It causes a person to steal because if a person's not trained, he didn't go to college, or he doesn't have any business to go into, and all he does is learn. So what's going to happen when he's 45 with 10 kids, let's say, and grandchildren? So how is he going to make any money? He's not going, so he's going to have to steal and trick people and cheat from people. That's going to lead to avon. That's one type of explanation. Right. So that's certainly a big challenge. So now, what's another way to explain avon? What other sin could be potentially come out from a person who doesn't? Doesn't work. So it's very possible that not only ayin hara, bittul Torah, it could be bittul Torah, which I think is more in line with what I was thinking of the Mishnah in Ksubis. The Mishnah in Ksubis is talking about a wife's responsibility to her husband, and whether it's cooking or cleaning the house or taking care of the kids. I'm not trying to be in any way chauvinist here, but with certain things of a woman trying to just run the household here. So let's say they're very wealthy and they could afford to have a help in the house. So you have help in the house, and then the Mishnah says she doesn't have to cook. The help will cook. And then they're really wealthy, they could have two helpers. So then she does the laundry, the helper does the laundry, the other one cooks. Let's say you have a help, five and six. You could afford 15 helpers in the house. So the Mishnah, at the end of the day, says no matter how much help you have, the woman always has to be some way active, involved in something. Because otherwise, if there's nothing to do, this boredom leads to zima. The Mishnah says zima, I think, leads to znus. You're busy bored. People get into trouble when they're bored, whether it's a znus or something else. So women have to stay busy as well. So perhaps the mission of us means here too. A person's learning all day. There's only so much a person's able to learn. There's certain individuals like Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Gedolim who can't learn all day for like 18 hours, 19 hours they're awake for. Most people who are normal, even Tamidei Chachamim, are not able to learn so straight. So they get bored also. They need breaks. We mentioned yesterday in the morning that when it says in the Mishnah of Avos that miut sicha, one of the 48 Kinyanei Torahs, miut sicha, the Gra says, it doesn't mean to speak less and learn more. It means you should dafka, you should speak, you should take breaks, you have to have conversations. People are not, we're not robots. There are only a few Rabbi Yashivs who lived in this world and the Gras who are able to never talk and just learn all day long. But miut sicha actually helps a person. You should have some type of break in order to have breaks and let your mind relax and think a little bit. You have to have miut sicha. But sometimes that can lead to gadol sicha, more conversations, more talking, and more wasting of time. A person can get bored and lead to terrible things. So that might be also having a person balanced with learning and also keeping yourself busy out of trouble. So that could be another reason. So either way, it's clear from the Mishnah that the reason why a person should work is either to make a parnasa so he could support his family and not rely on nisim, or perhaps to keep him busy so he's staying out of trouble. So either way, we see from the Mishnah here in Avos and the Gemara here in Moikatam, there is a mitzvah of making a parnasa. There's a mitzvah to go out and Medina Sayam and travel overseas, and you have a heter to get a haircut. What other nafkaminas do we see? Where else do we find that there's a mitzvah in working? So we saw the Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin. Talks about the responsibilities a father has to his son, and some of those are bris milah, to give his son a bris milah, to give his son a pridyon haben, to teach a child how to swim. And the Gemara says also that to teach him uvnas, to teach him a trade, teach him business, whether it's sending him to college or teaching him how to be an electrician or a plumber or a woodworker or something else, a business. That's one of the chiyuvim a father has for the child. So we see here that making a parnasa is a mitzvah based on the sugya in Maseches Kedushin. Another fascinating proof is, if you look at the end of the Mar Makomos, I don't think anyone got here yet, it's a well-known Tosfos in Maseches Brachos. If you look at number 18, I know I'm getting out of order. Sometimes when I prepare this Mar Makomos, I don't know exactly how I want to organize it, and then I will change my Seder HaDvarim, so I apologize for doing that sometimes, but if you look at number 18, Tosfos has a very well-known question as to the difference between Birchas HaTorah and the Bracha Leishev HaSukkah. The halacha by Leishei Basukah is each time a person goes in and then goes out and then goes in again, he needs to recite a new Leishei Basukah. But Birchas HaTorah we only say once in the morning. So how come when a person says in the morning, now afterwards we're going to learn for a couple hours, then we're going to go out and work, and then come back and hopefully tonight later we'll learn a lot, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock again. So shouldn't there be another Birchas HaTorah? Isn't it a hefsek? So Tosfos writes, to look in the middle at the bold, he asks, Vim Tomar, Maishna Misukah, Shetzarech levarich al kol suda v'suda leishei basukah. Each suda you eat, you have to say a new bracha leishei, but birchas haTorah you should just say once in the morning. V'yesh lomar d'shayni Torah. Torah is different. She'enu miyayish daita. A person never gives up. The person has an obligation to learn every single moment. To be magia, to learn all day. The person, halavai, we're at such a level. The person says, I can't wait to get home to learn. I can't wait to get home to learn. I can't wait till this is over. This meeting's over. This deal is over. The person always thinking, learning, 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 learning. That's a very interesting answer of Tosos. But the Taz, I believe it's a Taz. I believe it's a Mishnah Berurah. I wasn't able to find it. I hope I'm not making this up. Rav Weinberger did give a drasha like this last year. I don't remember which parsha this was, along the lines of what I remember seeing in the Taz. Something very different, a different explanation as to why you don't say a new birchas haTorah afterwards. Because he says when a person goes to work, that itself is a kim haTorah. When you're going out to work, he describes how, because when you have to keep a halacha of, you know, how to properly, whether it's keep your timing, you know, keep track of the time and not making any, pretending you work this amount of hours, not that many hours, or, you know, davening, or saying brachos, or benching, or tznius, or whatever is involved. There's always halachas you're constantly keeping when you're at work, whether it's going to the bathroom, we just discussed in the morning. There's so many halachas, we're actually fulfilling the Torah throughout the day. All the halachas that we're keeping, we never ended it. Limud Torah isn't only learning, Limud Torah is also fulfilling and keeping the Torah. So therefore, during the entire day while we're working, we're also fulfilling the Torah. So I would add on that, not only is it in terms of the halachas of how to do business, but actually making a parnasa, that itself is a kima Torah. That's what the mission Avos says, that the halacha is that yafet tamat Torah im derech eretz. If derech eretz, parnasa enhances and enables you to learn better, that itself is a kima Torah. Just like a person who works and supports limud Torah, Yisachar Zvulun relationship, that person who's supporting is getting a kima Torah, so to a person himself, who's supporting himself to learn when he has got free time, that also, to me, would seem to be kima Torah, and therefore would be a continuation of that same birchas haTorah in the morning. So this would be another proof, perhaps, as to the mitzvah, parnasa being a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't that hinge on where the mitzvah tzichus kavana on that? Let's say you want to take that mahalach, but a person sits at work, and you know he's in the middle of a complex negotiation or technical issue, and you know you're not thinking. Maybe could, but we're going to shalolam. I'm doing the kaim. I'm being the kaim. You know, call it or cool. But
so
that you're deep in the details of whatever you're dealing with. I mode on myself when I'm sitting in some issue. The last thing I'm thinking about at that moment is the we're going to shalolam.
Right. So I would say two things. You're no different than a person sitting in kolo. Weimer talks about this all the time. How many people are thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu while he's learning? Rabbi Hartman, the older one, what's his?
Yeshua.
Rabbi Yeshua Hartman. So I heard him speak a couple of years ago, and he said that he's a principal in London somewhere. He said the number one question he gets from the high school kids is, we're learning Gemara all the time. Where in the world is Hashem? Show me in the Gemara. His name's not mentioned anywhere. You go like 10 daf, you don't see Hashem's name mentioned anywhere. Where's Hashem? He's here. You're right. This is all Hashem's Torah. This is Hashem's Torah. So we don't think of it, which is unfortunate, it's not mentioned enough. Rav Chaim Mivolajan talks about that. How do you learn Lishma? So you should say every 5 seconds, I'm doing Lishem Shemaim, Lishem Hashem. You can't do that. But just having that thought in the beginning is enough of a Lishma to infuse your entire day. But unfortunately, people don't think of it when they're learning, even more so when they're working. So how do you deal with that? Where's the Kavana? So the answer, I would think, is that in terms of Lamedus, at least, when we passing to write that Mitzvahs Deraisa require Tzichos Kavana, but they always say that depending on the nature of the mitzvah, whenever a mitzvah is maisa oriented, then you need to have kavana. If it's totsa oriented, if it's about result, you don't need a kavana. What do I mean? So let's say that we know there's a mitzvah to build a fence on your roof. If you have got a flat roof that can be accessible, and the person could rachman atzan fall off, so you have a mitzvah to build a roof. Let's say a person doesn't know the halacha, and he contracts someone to build a fence for him. Does he not get the mitzvah? You have to get the mitzvah because the fence is about the result. As long as my roof is protected, then I've accomplished my mitzvah even without kavana. But if I'm, let's say, shaking lulav, which is not about a result, there's no result of lulav, it's about me shaking the maisa lulav and netilas lulav, that does require a netila. I would suggest that parnasa is not about the maisa parnasa, but it's about the result of the totsa of getting the money and keeping yourself busy and enhancing the learning. That would be my guess. Okay, let's look at one other source here, another proof that we find that working is considered a mitzvah. So there's a halacha on Shabbos based on the davar davar that speaking, a person has to speak the proper way on Shabbos, not mention any malachas. People are not very careful about this. It's it's someone's fault that we're not trained this way. But a person shouldn't speak about things you're going to do, or you shouldn't mention malachi. Even you shouldn't say, I'm writing something, I'm typing something. All those types of languages you shouldn't say on Shabbat. That's a v'daber daber. It's violating the pasuk in Navi that you have to speak words of Torah and words not related to malachas at all. So what can be said? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the last two sources here, Shulchan Aruch number 19, it says, Cheftei Shemayim Mutter Lidaber Behem. Things related to Shemayim, things related to mitzvahs you're allowed to speak of. So some of the examples that he mentions, Kigon Cheshbonos Shel Mitzvah. You're discussing with your wife, you're marrying off a child, and you're trying to figure out how much it's going to cost for this wedding. That's a Daber Mitzvah. You're discussing prices for a bris, or anything related to the mitzvah, a yeshiva tuition. All those types of numbers could be spoken of to discuss what it's going to cost to build a house. That's an important thing, or to buy a car, all very important things, let's say, but those aren't davar mitzvahs, l'chora, so that can't be spoken of, the prices of that. Ulef sok tzedakah, you want to discuss how much tzedakah to give. So these things are permitted. Another example in the bold says the Shulchan Aruch, ulam do sefer u'umnus, or to learn certain things. So are you allowed to learn, study for test on Shabbos? So that's a big discussion. So it's somewhere mechalik between history and science. Science is related to the Torah. History maybe not related to the Torah. Maybe it is related to the Torah. Okay, math. Math is helpful for Torah. So discussion, what can be studied, what can't be studied on Shabbos. But one of the things mentioned here is to teach umnus, to teach a person a trade that can be discussed on Shabbos. That's an amazing thing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the hu nami osik b'mitzvah, he's also osik b'mitzvah. He goes, it kind of downplays it. It's only mitzvah because it's going to result to stealing. Otherwise, I would say, no, it itself is a mitzvah. Regardless of what it might result in otherwise with the gezela, working itself is a level mitzvah because yafa tamat Torah im derech eretz, it really enhances your learning. We're not talking about people in Bnei Brak and Yechidim who should be sitting and learning and not working. There are Yechidim like that who shouldn't be working at all. But for the Hamun Am, 95%, if not more, are not capable of sitting and learning all day long. So then for them, Parnas is a mitzvah. So these are a number of the sources that we find that working itself is a mitzvah. But what about learning? Is learning ever considered a mitzvah of working? Certainly there's a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. That we're not going to question. But can a person use Limud HaTorah as his form of Parnasa? So when I learn, that's certainly learning. Is that also a key in my parnasa? Can you get both? Can you kill two birds with one stone by learning? Look now in the number six, the Sefer HaMakna. Sefer HaMakna, he also wrote the Hafla and the author of the Parma Yafos on Ta'ala Torah. He's the brother of Shmelka from Nicholsburg. He was a brother of him. Some people I know claim that the Hasidim didn't know how to learn. He certainly knew how to learn. There are a number of Hasidim who, they all knew how to learn. But some people think since there are no Svarim, there are not many Svarim from the Hasidim, they didn't know how to learn. So the Sefer Makne, I think he was a Hasidish background. He wasn't quite as known as Rosh Melka in terms of his Hasidus, but he certainly was involved and has some breakthrough Svarim. So these are among the many, many proofs that they weren't just in Hasidus. They knew how to learn plus Hasidus as well. So Sefer Makne, it's based in a sugya. The Gemara says in Nedarim, that a person who's a teacher is not allowed to accept payment for his teaching. So Torah Shabbat, the Gemara says Torah Shabbat Peh, you can't teach Gemara, you can't get paid for teaching Gemara, but you can get paid for teaching Mikra, for teaching Chumash. That's what the Gemara says. How we get around it nowadays, there are other explanations, but it could be for, if you're going to be having younger children who need to be supervised, I'm getting paid not to teach them Gemara, I'm getting paid to make sure that they're safe. That's one explanation. One explanation is that because, if I'm not busy teaching, I need to make parnassus, so then I'm going to be an investment banker. You have no teachers left. So there are different explanations how it's allowed. But forget Bizman Azeh right now. The strict halacha is you can't get payment for Torah Shebaal Peh, but you can get payment for teaching Torah Shebichsav. So the Sefer Makna writes very interestingly, even though one's allowed to take afilu schar mikra de mutter lito, even though a person is allowed to accept payment for teaching psukim, tov better a person not make her panasa based on teaching chumash. Ubichlal the Gemara Chazal Torah anyone who gets benefit from the Torah, his life is taken from this world. There's actually a fascinating Gemara. I forget which Amora Tana this was, but he was very, very. He was a big anav. and I think it was they were collecting taxes, and they back then also clergy exemptions that or parsonage that we have nowadays is not a new thing. The Gemara talks about how the Rabbanim also got exempt. So there's a certain one who a Tana or Amora who didn't want to tell him he was a rabbi. He was very humble, he dressed in a very simple way, and it goes into great length of a whole Maisa, what had happened, that he was willing to pay the full taxes and not say who he was because he did not want to use and abuse the Keser Shatorah as a way to save any money. He didn't want to be Nehene from Divrei Torah, that was considered Nehene, so he avoided that entirely and paid the full taxes. So that's all the Sefer Machna, that even though one's allowed to make a Parnasa from teaching Psukim, one should not. You should have a separate Parnasa from Limud Torah as well. Right, so nowadays, we'll see in a moment, the Rav Moshe says nowadays, I'll say it now, but we'll see it inside in just a moment, that otherwise, if a person wouldn't get stipend, then no one would go learn in college. Just couldn't support it. It can't happen. Just, you know, how could a person make money? Yeah, it's practically true, and therefore, we'll see a very fascinating Rav Moshe. Hopefully at the end, remind me, I don't want to leave it out. So the Meiri says otherwise. The Meiri is one of the Rishonim, number 7. He writes, Mikol Makom, Kol shelamdu Torah, ein sarach lelamdu umnus acheres. Now the Miri, by the way, was considered one of the more rational Rishonim. They were all rational, but he was considered in the same group as the Rambam, which they call more of the rational groups as opposed to the Ritvan Rash, where they're all rational, of course. But he was considered, I don't say more modern, but more open-minded, like they've tried to peg the Rambam. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. He was certainly very more well-versed and it seemed from other areas of Torah as well, outside of the area of Torah. What?
In tune with the world.
That's what it seems. But whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's how they pegged the Meiri, more in the camp of the Rambam. I don't know if that's really true, though. But the Meiri writes that a person who learns does not need to have a separate form of separate source of parnasa, because sheyesh Torah, yesh kemach. One who learns is guaranteed to get kemach flour, which is, of course, is a symbol of money, of parnasa. He'll get that as well. How? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of him. Right, but Limud Torah v'umnus litzad v'nishnu. When it's said in the Mishnah that a father has to teach a son Torah and umnus, it didn't mean both of them. It meant one or the other. Either teach him Torah or teach him a trade, but you don't have to teach both of them. So the Miri is against this Machna. While the Machna says you shouldn't rely on Torah to get a Parnasa, you have to have a separate Parnasa and a separate Torah, the Miri thought that no, they're two independent tracks. Those who are capable of learning should learn, and somehow the Parnasa will come. Otherwise, you should work, and hopefully you'll get to learn in between. So this machlokus in the Rishonim, in fact, is a machlokus found in the end of the Mishnah, the very last Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin. Right, the Be'er Halacha refers to this machlokus Tanayim, whether you should work or whether a person should learn instead. So the Gemara, let's read number 9, this Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin together. Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Meir, by the way, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nuhurai are the same person. The Gemara in Erevin says Rabbi Nuhurai, Rabbi Meir is the same exact person. So they ask this question, how could this be? They're saying they're the opposite thing, so I'm not going to get involved in that question, but that's a question that they ask. So Rabbi Meir says, Omer, Li olam yilamed adam es beno umnus nikiya vakala. A person should always teach his child a clean and safe and simple work. Vispal lemisha oshev anechasim shalo. And he should daven that wealth to the one whose wealth, who has control of the wealth, which of course is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. She'ein umnas she'ein ba'aniyas v'ashirs. There is no profession that there's no one wealthy, no one poor. I mean, there's some people who invest in bankers who do really, really well, and there are others who do terribly. So every industry, there's a range, of course. You know, a person who's going to be, let's say, a tailor is not going to be the same range as a person who's going to be an investment banker. But even in every industry, there are those who are successful, those who are failures. So give him a nice parnasa, teach him a nice, simple trade, and then he should daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make him successful among those workers. Ela kol lefi zechus, all depends on the zechus. Right, I skipped a line here. Shelo anias mina umnus, lo ashiris mina umnus, wealth and poverty doesn't come from that particular industry. Ela kol of zechus. It all depends on how he davens and what zechuyos he built up. So that's the shita of Rabbi Meir, that a person should get a parnasa. But then Rabbi Nuhurai Omer, again, Rabbi Meir himself, who just is now called a different name. By the way, Rabbi Meir is referred to a different name as well throughout Shas. Anyone know what his other name is? It's really no other name. He's called Stam Mishra Meir, but there's also a title they give him. Acherim, right? Acherim is connected to Acher. He's Acherim. Remeir is Acherim also. The Gemara at the end of Horios, those doing Daf Yomi, saw this recently, based on a whole debate that Rabbi Meir tried kicking out the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was the acting Nasi. He tried to kick him out. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel got wind of this, and therefore he demoted Rabbi Meir. He kicked him out of the Beis Medrash. And then people said, but Rabbi Meir, wait a second, we need him here. He's Rabbi Meir. So he said, fine, but we're never going to quote him. We're going to call him, we're going to call him Acherim instead. So he's called Acherim, probably based on Acher, his Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, who was Acher. That's probably why they gave him the name Acherim. So he's got a few names throughout Shas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nurai, and Acherim. So what's the position of Rabbi Nurai?
So politics is nothing new.
Not at all. He wasn't the only one. Rabbi Yossi also was along with Rabbi Meir trying to topple the Nesias there. He was also kicked out of the base Medrash, and Rabbi Yossi is referred to, what did they give him? Yesh Omer. Yesh Omer is always Rabbi Yossi, I believe. So he's also, he was kind of knocked out. Fine. So Rabbi Nurai says, Meniach ani kol umno sheba'olam, I would leave aside all the different trades of the world. Veini milamin is b'ni el Torah. I would only teach my child Torah. She'odam ochel mischar be'olam hazeva karen kayemes lo li'olam haba, because one who learns not only gets schar in this world, but he also gets a schar in the next. V'shar kol umnos ein okein, as opposed to the other professions. When a person gets older, then he's too weak. He can't, let's say, guys, I don't know, what's something that requires physical? A guy's a construction worker, so at a certain age, you can't lift the steel beams you still lift in the past. So as you get older, it's harder to do certain activities. As opposed to a person who learns, the older you get, the wiser you get. Odia nuvum seva. You get greater nuvunum, greater bina, as you save, as you get older and older. So that's what he says. You should learn, and you should not work. So this is machlokas between Rabbi Meir himself, whether one should get a parnasa, or whether one should learn. So this is machlokas. How do you paskin? So the Chassam Sofer is very strong language here. The Chassam Sofer number 15. Number 15, he paskins like Rabbi Nuhurai. He says we should never... Now this is a whole other conversation about secular education as well. So he writes that nearly, number 15, Dafka kamar dein letinokos yisrael lumod shum umnos v'shum chachma. A child should never learn any other type of trade, any other type of wisdom. Ki im Torah Hashem, he should only be taught Torah. The Kaim Alon ki Rabbi Eli, Rabbi Nehurai, really confusing who it was. That's Rabbi Nehurai's position in Maseches Kedushin, that he was what? That he's meniach kol umnos sheba olam ve'inim melamedis b'nei al Torah u'lishayangdil ve'lohitzliach b'Torah az yatriach im olul lam de umnos. So this is a very challenging point. Chassam Sofer says, teacher. Now he's 25, he's 30, 35, now he needs parnasa, so then teach him a trade at 35. Now we know that's all hard. Because who's going to hire a 35-year-old associate if you got a 21-year-old associate? Less responsibilities, more time in his hand to work. The 35-year-old has 10 kids at home to watch, and he's busy taking care of kids. 21-year-old just got married, or is not married yet, and he has no kids yet, and needs more time, and needs more strength. So nowadays, I'm not sure if this is going to work out well. Back then, when, you know, you could just start your own business, start your own farm, it's perhaps easier for someone older to start fresh at 35. Nowadays, if you want to get at least a job in a business world, a professional job, it's much harder to start at the age of 35 than it is at the age of 21. Unfortunately, I know many people who sat in yeshiva many, many years, and then they realize they're not getting a position in their, you know, everyone thinks they're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva. I know I've got that same track, and 25 guys think they're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. In the end of the day, it's the Rosh Yeshiva's son-in-law becomes the Rosh Yeshiva, even though he's not qualified to become Rosh Yeshiva. That's unfortunately, that happens way too often. It's a terrible thing. So what happens now? They're 35 and they're stuck. Now what do they put? They have no parnasa. There's no training. There's no, unless they have a family business to go into. So Chassam Sofer, I think, was talking back then. So then you make a parnasa when you're older. But nowadays, I don't know if this, again, I'm not passing. I'm just talking about some of my thoughts here. I don't know if this is always going to work. Sometimes it does. In Lakewood, I think they're very good at this. Lakewood, they have a whole system where I think people do learn for a while and they have enough connection with each other to start real estate firms and things like that. In some places, it is successful. Other places, it's not successful. So what's interesting about the Chassam Sofer as well, in terms of just finishing this line here for a moment, in terms of learning other secular education, he says, V'shar chachmos, Shitzarach lerkochos letavchos leshamesh eishes chayal Torah Hashem lo yaspiku biyalde nachri ki akol yimatzi betorah hahogeba lishma zoch ledvar harbe. I think the Chassam Sofer is saying that if you're at the Chassam Sofer's level, you're like the Chazon Ish, so everything's in the Torah. Science and the halacha, or rather medicine and math, all that stuff is in the Torah. He's not saying these things are unnecessary. Sex education is very necessary for certain things, certainly for understanding Torah itself. But what he's saying is, if you're Zohar, you're going to get it from Limud HaTorah. Chazon Ish was brilliant in the world of medicine and science. Supposedly, I don't know if this is true, supposedly he learned it all from learning Torah. He didn't read separate books, I was told. I don't know if that's true or not. But supposedly he learned this from the Torah itself. Now that's if you're the Chazon Ish. If you're any of us, no offense to anyone, we don't have the ability, rare, to have someone who has that ability to look into the Torah and gain science information, to learn medicine from the Torah. That's a whole other level. So that's what the Chazon Sofer was saying, we are not on that level anymore. In which case, to me, that you need to learn certain things, certainly to understand the Torah, and also to understand how life works as well. But that's not the Chassam Sofer passing like Rabbi Nuhurai, that you shouldn't teach your child a business and just teach him to learn. The other extreme is the Rambam. If you look at number 10, the Chu is Binyan Sion. Someone said, it seems the Rambam passing this way as well. The Binyan Sion is also the author of the Aruch Laner. The Binyan Sion, the question that was posed to him, it says, why does the Rambam leave out the halacha that one of the obligations the father has to do for the son is to teach him a trade? Rambam mentions that the father finds a child a wife, but why doesn't it mention the need to teach him a trade? So he says the Rambam does mention this in a roundabout way. There's a halacha based on the Gemara in Makos that if a person, let's say, is disciplining the child in learning, and accidentally, Rachman Al-Tan kills him, so then he's pater. The father's pater, because he was oseik in a mitzvah. Again, I'm not getting involved in hitting. We don't hit anymore. We never probably did. They recently found a letter from Rav Nachman Mibreslov. Anyone see this? There's a letter from Rav Nachman they just saw a few days ago that he said that a person should never hit their child, which, again, sounds pretty accepted nowadays, but back then it wasn't accepted. People hit their children all the time. Nachman says you should never hit a child. The Gemara talks about when you hit a child, you take a little shoelace and give a little you don't feel a shoelace, like a little whiff. That's about it. Nothing more than that. So back in a couple of hundred years ago, this was something that was accepted. So Gemara talks about disciplining a child and Rachman Al-Tan killing a child and not on purpose, since you're always in the midst of disciplining, it's fine. So what type of discipline are you giving? So the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes says, you're disciplining him to learn, and you're disciplining him to make our parnasa, to teach a trade. I mean, he's not doing the woodwork the right way. He's being lazy. He keeps making not a smooth edge. So you hit the kid to make sure he gets on the straight edge. Now, I'm not promoting this. I'm just saying what the Rambam's talking about. So a father who does this and accidentally kills a child, he's pater, because he was always taking mitzvah and teaching the child a profession. And that's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the father. So the Rambam does paskin then that there is a mitzvah for the father to teach and for the child to learn a profession. So while the Chassam Sofer said that there was no mitzvah, we paskin like Rabbi Nuhurai, teach a child learning only, Rambam paskin that you should teach a child a parnasa to teach him a trade. That's most people think this machlokas Rabbi Nuhurai versus Rabbi Meir. But the most common perspective is, it's Rav Moshe, it's Pnei Yeshua and the Be'er Halacha, say there is no machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nuhurai. It's the same person, firstly. Rabbi Meir was talking to the Olam. In general, most people need to learn to work. Rabbi Nuhurai is referring to his own child. I don't know who his child was an individual who was capable of learning. He was a yachid. So for certain yachidim who could sit in kolel, so those people, my son, he says, b'ni, my child, he's saying, is zochati, is a capability of learning, so I'm going to teach just to learn. So the yachidim are meant to learn kolel. That we always need. But for the hamunam, most people are not capable of doing that, and therefore they should be taught a trade. And that's the difference between a kol is not meant for the entire city. The kol is meant for the elite, for the yechidim who have the ratzon and ability to do this. Let's finish one last piece. I told Stephen we'll get back to the Rav Moshe about how do we pay for kolim nowadays. How could you support kolim? If the lach is that a person, so if the yechidim, fine. But even without yechidim, could you support a kol, even if it's not the top-notch guys in yeshiva and kolo? So look at Rav Moshe. This is page number 13, but it really goes on to the next, rather, source number 13, but goes on to the top of the next page, right above 14. We'll read just the bold, and then we'll finish after this. Rav Moshe writes, Shenolin pras bekolim, v'chein harabonim hanolin pras, umalamdin in tamidim, not only people sitting in kolo, but rabbanim of shuls, or teachers, Rashi Yeshivos, Hanolim Pras, Lifarnas Asam, Im Shapir Avdi. Is that something that's appropriate? The lach is that you shouldn't take any parnasa, you shouldn't take money for teaching Torah Shebaal Peh. Hinei Vadai Shapir Avdi, it's appropriate, says Rav Moshe, it's correct. Dechein Ipsek Barama, your day, it's been Reshma Mivav Sif Chaf Alaf Shafilu Bari, Mutter, umutter lechacham l'tamidav l'kabal hasfekos min anosnim k'dei l'hachzik yidei lom de Torah. That a person is able to accept people helping support them in order to strengthen limud Torah. Shayidei zeh yechol l'asak b'tar b'revach. This way a person can learn with less concern. He could, with a clear mind, less responsibility, less obligations. Afilu im neimad she'en kein da'as haramam. Even if you say the Rambam held otherwise. The Rambam, we just saw that you have to teach every single person. Every single person needs to have a profession. The Rambam was a Rambam, he's a Rav, he's also a doctor. Rashi was a rabbi, but he's also a wine distributor. So they have parnasa. So even if you say the Rambam argued and that you cannot take money for teaching, but he says, Rav Moshe, nowadays, Mishum Eish Laso Shla Hashem Efar Tarasecha. This is the same pasuk that's invoked. How could you write Torah Shabbat Peh in the Gemara? Isn't it meant to be Torah Shabbat Peh? No, Eslav, people were forgetting. So sometimes you have to adjust and evolve. So too, says Rav Moshe, because we might forget the Torah, Shilo haya parnasas halomdin v'amlamdin mitzuya, had the people teaching not had money available to them, lo hayu yuchol nitshoach b'torah kiroi, they couldn't put enough time and effort into teaching. They need to make parnasa. You know how much time it takes to prepare a shir? It takes a lot of time. V'ayisa Torah mishtakachas miyisrael, then we're going to forget Rachman Latzlan, the learning. U'b'yosu mitzuya yuchol lasok v'yagdil Torah v'yadib. When a person gives a rabbi, a teacher, a rebbe, what to support his family, that gives him the ability and time to prepare properly and continue on the Torah. And now look at this last line. This is a great line of Rav Moshe. The last few lines in the bold here. Vani Omer, says Rav Moshe, I myself hold. Ki elu ha-mischasim mitzad shitas ha-ramam. Those who are such medaktikin, and they want to be medaktikin. The Rambam says you have to have a job with your work, with your learning. You can't be supported by someone else. Those mischasidim, they're such bali chesed. He be'etas ha-yetzahara. That's the Yetzahara speaking to them. Kadesh Yafsik Milil Mode, they're using that as a justification why they should stop learning the Yasuk Mlach and go out and make a parnasa, Ubimascher, Ukidoma, Adshibla Sof, Hem Shokin, until in the end they end up forgetting Afa Miksa Shekvarlam, even that which they already learned, they're gonna forget that as well. They're so busy making money and investing baker coming back at 1 o'clock in the morning, they forgot all the learning that they had learned before. So Moshe's not talking about the Habonam. He's talking about those who are Banim, Rebbeim, and teachers, and people sitting in Kol, those who should be sitting in Kol, not for everyone. That's what he's referring to. That even though the Rambam says that people should have a Parnasa along with their teaching job, nowadays people are just not capable of doing that. They just don't have the time and ability to do all that. So for those Yechidim in Kol, and those who are teaching the next generation, they should be and should be given the proper Parnasa to continue on teaching of our generations.
No,
he's saying that the person, people say, but doesn't Rambam say if I'm a teacher, I should also make a parnasa? So people are going to start teaching, and on the side, they're going to make a parnasa as well, having some investments. And then slowly, what's going to, that's the Yetzirah speaking. So in order to stop them from working, from teaching rather, and then it's going to get worse and worse. That job's going to overtake their life of learning. It's going to get so bad, they're going to forget everything that they learned and completely wipe out all their limud Torah. Okay, so we'll stop here. And then next week, I'm not sure what's the next topic, but we'll find something next week to do.